Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Text number 2, to begin with. I'll just read the translation, because there's no purport. Prahlad Maharaj was very educated in devotional life. But when his father sent him to these two sons of Sukracharya, to be educated, he accepted them as their school, at their school, along with the other sons of the Asuras. Text 3. Yat tatra guruna proktam. Sushushuve nupatacha. Esadu manasa mene. Svaparasad grahashrayam. Yat. Which? Tatra. There in the school. Karuna. By the teachers. Proktam. Instructed. Shushuve. Heard. Anupapata, recited, and, na, not, sadhu, good, manasa, by the mind, mene, considered, swa, of one's own, para, and of others, asatgraha, by the bad philosophy, ashrayam, which was supported. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad certainly heard and recited the topics of politics and economics taught by the teachers, but he understood that political philosophy involves considering someone a friend and someone else an enemy. Thus, he did not like it. Report. Politics involves accepting one group of men as enemies, another group as friends. Everything in politics is based on this philosophy, and the entire world, especially at the present, is engrossed in it. The public is concerned with friendly countries and friendly groups, or enemy countries and enemy groups. But as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, a learned person does not make distinctions between friends and enemies and friends. Devotees especially do not create friends and enemies. A devotee sees every living being as a parcel of Krishna. Mamaivang so jiva bhutaha. Therefore, a devotee treats friends and enemies equally by trying to educate them both in Krishna consciousness. Of course, atheistic men do not follow the instructions of pure devotees, but instead consider a devotee their enemy. A devotee, however, never creates a situation of friendship and enmity. Although Prahlad Maharaj is obliged to hear the instructions of Sanda and Amarka, he did not like the philosophy of friends and enemies, which forms the basis of politics. He was not interested in this philosophy. It is said in the prayers of the six Goswamis, Krishnat Kirtana Ganat Paro, Krishnat Kirtana Gananata Paro, Premamritambo Nidhi, Dira Dira Janat Priyo Priyakaro. That the six Goswamis were absorbed in an ocean of transcendental happiness. Krishnat Kirtana Ganag Paro Bhuvi Bhuvo Premamrita, in an ocean of prema. And therefore, Dira Dira Janat Priyo, that they were friends with both the Dira, the self-controlled, and the Adira. So that's basically speaking how we divide things up. Krishna is not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's not a green, he's not a whatever it may be, black, white, or red, or yellow. He divides everything up into two classes, the dhiras and the adhiras. And that's consistent throughout the Bhagavad Gita. There's a class of people, which is most people, and whatever political affiliation or other philosophy they have, is all based upon sense gratification. But Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, is not for sense gratification. Therefore, when Krishna summarizes to Arjuna in the second chapter, he begins with when Arjuna is asking about what is an advanced person? Who's an actual advanced person? First thing Krishna says is, Prajahati yada kaman sarvam partha manogatan. Atmani vatmanatushta stita pragyasta tochite. One who gives up these desires which arise from mental speculation or mental concoction and thinks of the self alone, he is said to be situated in knowledge. In other words, the material world is a world of duality. People will be interested in gratifying our senses or assisting us in gratifying our senses, and they become our friends. And those who are impediments or obstacles or threaten our sense gratification, they become our enemies. But actually, these are all conducted. Everyone is being conducted by the three modes of material nature. So behind everything, Tribhir Gunamayar Bhavar, Abhik Sarvamividam Jagat, Mohitam Nabijananti, Mam Abhyak Param Avyayam. The three modes of material nature, Tribhir Gunamayar Bhavar, Abhik Sarvamividam Jagat, Mohitam. The three world is under the spell of the three modes of material nature, and therefore they're acting according to those modes. But this has nothing to do with the soul. Except the soul, being under the influence of ignorance, is being forced to act according to the different modes. So our duty is not to figure out which mode we like and which mode we don't like, is to take people out of the modes, whoever they may be, and put them into the spiritual energy. Anyone under the spiritual energy will drop out of material competition and not be seeing friends and enemies, but seeing everyone as Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gavi Hastini, Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha, Pandita Samadarshana. That a learned person sees everyone equally, not only the human beings, whoever their political affiliations may be, or race or color or whatever else, they even see the animals, such as the elephant and the dog, and even the lower class people, such as the dog eaters, as Krishna's servants. And if one sees like that, then Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Padesh. Our duty is not to change people from one religious affiliation to the next, or from one political party to the next. Our duty is to change people from their material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. And if we affiliate ourselves with any particular group, then we'll also be under this sway of mental concoction. This is good and this is bad. Well, it's all bad. Anything except for Krishna is bad. Prabhupada once said that everyone says they're good. We say everyone is bad except for us. Now people won't like that. They'll say we're fanatics. But actually we say Krishna is all good. And anyone for Krishna or God, they're also good. And anyone against Krishna is not good. If one is for Krishna, then one will be for all living entities. One will be actually non-sectarian. One will be acting for the welfare of all living entities, not only human beings, not only part of human society, not only for some animals like the whales or the pigeons or whatever else, the penguins, but for all living entities. Therefore, one of the qualities of pure devotional service, besides being frees one from sinful reactions, it's subhada. It's all auspicious. And part of all auspiciousness means it benefits all living entities. It not only stops sinful reaction, which is, what's the Sanskrit for sinful reaction? What's that? No, I mean in the quality, two qualities, nectar devotion. Kleshagni. Klesha means suffering, and it frees one from suffering, which is, suffering is all due to sin. Sin means kama, krodha, and etc. Trividam narakasyedam dvaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tatalovas tasmat etam triyam tyajet. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, greed. Every sane person should try to get free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. So this, Prahlad Maharaj said, this is our enemy. Not, he is my enemy. He is my enemy, and I've killed him. And all my other enemies will also be killed because I'm the Lord of everything. I am perfect. I am powerful, and I am happy. Etc., etc. So this is the demoniac consciousness. And therefore, my friends, my family, I myself should be elevated. Everyone else at the expense of pushing all the other living entities down. So whatever party you pick in the material world, some will be for killing the animals indiscriminately, and another party will be for killing their children indiscriminately. And both parties think they're good. And Krishna says they're both bad. So we repeat Krishna's message that we're good because we're for Krishna and everyone else is bad. When we say Krishna, of course, we mean God. So to a certain extent, there's some element of God consciousness still left in the world. That's why people aren't eating each other in the street. But that element of God consciousness has become mixed. And therefore, people don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. They don't know what's religion, they don't know what irreligion is. And therefore, they sometimes get it right, and most of the times they get it wrong. But getting it right means to give up this mental concoction, desires arising from mental concoction, and find shelter in the self alone, Krishna alone. Dukeshu vamanagminak, sukeshu vigatas priha, vita ragabaya krodha, manmana bhavanagminak. Dukeshava managmanaksukeshu vigatas priha vita ragabayakroda stiti deramuni uchete. So we want to become actually fixed in our minds. Then, of course, we're part of the material world. We've got this material body. There must have been something we did wrong. No one gets the material body. And there are avatars who come. They don't come in a material body, they come in a spiritual body. But having a material body is a symptom that we violated the laws of nature in some degree or another, which is not difficult. Even when one tries hard, you just walk in the street, you kill an ant, you're liable to be punished for killing that ant. So what to speak of our poor selves, how many microbes we're breathing all the time without chanting Hare Krishna. So one gets a material body, one has to suffer to some degree. But that suffering is also an impetus to make advance in the Krishna consciousness. It's not useless. It's not for no reason. It's to inspire us to take deeper shelter of Krishna. Without birth, death, old age, and disease, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, there is actually no impetus to make advance in spiritual life. So the devotee learns to tolerate, even when they're faced with difficulty. And when everything is seemingly going all right for a couple of minutes, or an hour, or a day, whatever else, then the devotee doesn't sit back and relax and stop popping grapes in his mouth, thinking everything's going to be all right from now on. No, one goes on with one's determination to utilize the better situation in order to serve Krishna with more determination. Then one becomes stita dhirmuni uchite. One becomes fixed in consciousness, in Krishna consciousness. Before we get to the stage of nishta, then we have to go through different stages. And one of the stages is, at the beginning, to just accept religious principles. So how many people actually know that there are at least four religious principles? How many people know about that? And how many people believe it? And how many people who believe it actually follow it? And how many people who follow it actually take it seriously? Actually embrace it, are enthusiastic about it. How many people at the time of initiation have their fingers crossed that they embrace the regular principles? Yes, I want to follow the rest of my life. Great, fantastic. Maybe there should be 5 regular principles. I'm not satisfied with 4. No, most people think, oh, I got to follow, you know, all right. I followed for 6 months. Maybe I can follow for another 6 months, which is practically a lifetime. So people don't like these principles of freedom, as Krishna calls it. But that's the basic principle of religion, beginning of human life, is to follow 4 regular principles, not 3. Because without those 4 regular principles, there can't be mercy, there can't be truthfulness, there can't be cleanliness, there can't be austerity. And without that, one cannot be a human being. But that's not the end of it. I'm following the 4 regular principles. I deserve to go to Vaikuntha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing kirtan in the Shiva Sangha, and one Brahmin wanted to hide and see the pastimes. And his qualification was that he only drank milk. So Chaitanya, he was hiding. Srivas Thakur allowed him to hide somewhere in his house so he could see the nocturnal kirtans of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy, and then he stopped and said, my transcendental ecstasy has left me. There must be someone in this house who is not a devotee. So he asked Srivas Thakur, is there someone in this house you're allowed to be here who's actually not a devotee? So Srivas Thakur said, yes, I allow one Brahmin, but he's a very pious Brahmin. He only drinks milk. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, only drinks milk? What has that got to do with anything? What has that got to do with the eligibility to hear, to be, take part in the transcendental, my transcendental pastimes? So I don't remember if they threw the Brahmin out of the house or he changed his mind and decided to chant Hare Krishna too. In any case, it's not the qualification to take part in spiritual life. It may be helpful, but it's not in itself sufficient to become spiritual. But after that, then one also has to learn tolerance. One has to not only accept the regular principles of religious life, but one has to next thing, 7. They have to act piously. So acting piously means Krishna consciousness in this age. Practically speaking, there's no other opportunity to act piously in this age other than chanting Hare Krishna. So just following 4 regular principles is not enough, or more religious principles. One has to act piously, and then one has to conquer the dualities of material existence, friends and enemies, etc. Because religious principles will free one from suffering in the material world, the kleshas. And then acting piously will elevate oneself to having a nice, peaceful material situation. But that's not spiritual life. And even getting free from the dualities of material existence through austerity and cultivation of knowledge, jnana, is also not spiritual life. But it's a step forward towards spiritual life. And then one can actually accept devotional service. Unless one actually is religious, unless one is actually acting piously, unless one is actually trying to get free, tolerating dualities of material existence, not reacting to them, then one cannot really accept pure devotional service. And without accepting pure devotional service, one cannot actually understand Krishna as he is. One cannot actually rise to the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and experience Krishna as he is, become Krishna conscious. And without becoming Krishna conscious, we can't develop love for Krishna and meditate in trance upon him. So this idea of getting involved in material, you know, friends and enemies and things like that, which is all part of the dualities of material existence, is not favorable to actually accepting pure devotional service. and rising to actual experiencing Krishna as he really is, because Krishna is the friend of everyone, and the devotee should become the friend of everyone. It's not that we don't see good and evil, but we see everything as ultimately evil in the material world. Because without Krishna, everything is zero. Everything is Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. So rather than trying to bring people from one side of zero to the other side of zero, we should bring people to the one, add a one to whatever they're doing, and that will make them perfect. And then Krishna says, Yak sarvetra sambhi sneha tat tat tapra shubha shubham abhina dvesti na dvesti tatra pragya pratishtita. One who sees everywhere that this shubha shubham, either so-called good or evil, yak sarvatra nibhi sneha tatra 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 shubha shubham abhina dvesti na dvesti, who doesn't become either envious or attached to these things, who remains aloof from what's going on in the material world. And this is not that he's aloof from what's going on in terms of trying to help people become Krishna conscious, but one understands that things are going to go on, people have to receive the reactions of their sinful activities. It doesn't matter how much they protest, whatever demonstration they have, if they keep on performing sinful activities, they have to get a sinful reaction. And someone has to give them this sinful reaction. There's nothing that can be done about that. The only thing that can be done is elevate people to Krishna consciousness so they stop sinful activities. If they stop sinful activities, then the sinful reactions will stop. If they take to Krishna consciousness, then they'll have the power to stop sinful activities, and therefore the sinful reactions will stop. Otherwise, they'll simply go on. It doesn't matter how many demonstrations and protests, whatever else is going on, or wars, whatever else goes on. These things will have to go on, because that's the laws of material nature. No one can stop them. They're not under human beings, or even demigods' power. It's all because it's all under the laws of nature, governed by time. The three modes of material nature and time bring about karmic reactions, and no one can stop them, any more than one can stop time from changing things. So rather than involve our minds and our intelligence and our activities in this side or that side, we should be a friend of everyone. As Prahlad Maharaj said, in this world there's no enemy except for the uncontrolled mind. And any mind which is not thinking about Krishna is to some extent uncontrolled. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj was avoiding politics, and this is the ideal of a devotee. On the other hand, if we are totally uninvolved or detached, either we may land in the war zone unexpectedly, or we will be seen sometimes as irrelevant because we don't even know what people are talking about. So how does one find the balance between discriminating between the different modes, which are all not so good in the material world on one hand, and on the other hand being aloof and neutral?
Well, I don't. First of all, we're not interested whether people find us relevant or not relevant in one sense. Ultimately, we're interested whether Krishna and his acharyas find us relevant in what we're doing. We're not trying to become relevant to people. Because people may say, dance naked in the street, and then you'll become relevant. We're not interested in that. We're interested in finding people who find Krishna and his philosophy relevant.
I don't mean pandering to their tastes. I mean that we don't even speak their language. We don't understand what...
We should explain Krishna consciousness in a relevant way. But this is part of our relevant way. Stop this. I'm favorable for these people because it's good for their sense gratification. But I'm against these people because it's not good for my sense gratification. Whatever. This is all based on sense gratification politics. So to become relevant to people's political affiliation is just a waste of time. It's all temporary. It has nothing to do with reality. It's all due to the illusory perceptions and delusory perceptions of reality that people have these political affiliations. So we don't have enough time or energy, nor will it actually be very productive. We have to find people who are interested in Krishna consciousness, and then we'll be relevant to them. Otherwise, we will never be relevant to anyone. Because if we want to be Krishna conscious, then if you want to catch the big fish, then don't get wet. Don't dive into the ocean because you want to get the fish. Stay where you are and then bring the fish to where you are. Or as Prabhupada said, with the Muslim, he lost his, the Brahmin, he ate at a Muslim's house and he lost his caste and he was still hungry. Does that answer your question? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.